Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Reinvention. I'm so excited. My guest today is Jim Fielding. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathy.
So excited to have you here. Oh, my goodness.
It's an
the
honor.
History, the stories, the accolades, the business,
Thank you.
It. We have so much to talk about.
Yes.
Okay. Let me give a little background for those who don't know you. Jim is a respected retail and media industry veteran whose expertise combines storytelling, product innovation, merchandising, and consumer experiences. He currently serves as a partner at Archer Gray, which is an independent media company, and president of its CoLab division. He is an active community leader and a philanthropist. He is a respected leader in brand strategy, consumer products and experiences, and storytelling. He's a passionate advocate and philanthropist for the queer community, higher education, and diversity, equity, and inclusion, so much so that he has just authored an amazing new book, and today is the official pub date, so congratulations.
Thank
what
you.
A wonderful, wonderful day to be together. I'm
yeah,
so
it's
excited.
It's amazing. Great timing.
The book is called All Pride, No Ego, published by Wiley. And he is committed to safe and authentic spaces for all individuals. And Jim, we are going to touch on all of this.
Okay.
I am just besides myself here. This is just incredible. And, you know, as a fellow author, there is just such joy and excitement around the launch of your book. I know you're already getting incredible reviews. We're going to make sure everybody tuning in knows where and how to get this at the end of the episode. And we're going to come back to the book because I'm going to take you back in time before we even get to all this yummy stuff that we're going to talk about. But I want to go back in time, Jim. I want to go back to who was little Jim. And did you have any idea what you wanted to do with your life when you were 5 or 10 or even 15? Were there signs of your creativity, your business acumen, your, you know, all the things that you have done? And I mean, it is such a vast and wide experience. I mean, goodness knows, I read like 3 sentences of a very long, exhaustive, beautiful bio of all the things that you've done and the crossroads where we got to first meet through business and our friend Larry Sale. But I'd love to know, like, were those early stages of your life any indication of where you are today?
I mean, I think, yeah, there were peaks of it. I mean, I'm a firstborn and I'm an Aries, and I think we love being the center of attention. And so I was always kind of performing and entertaining my family. I come from a family of readers and a family of really funny people. And so dinner time was always kind of crazy, and you'd have to talk about like what you were reading and why. And I, you know, I did choir and I did theater and I did a lot of, you know, early things where I think I was stretching my creativity. But honestly, little Jimmy was struggling with his sexuality, too, and started to get bullied, honestly, all the way back in elementary school.
I was going to say, like, what age were you when you really became aware of that?
Yeah. I mean, I knew young, I was 6 or 7, but I didn't know what it was called. I knew it was wrong. I definitely knew it was wrong or considered wrong. And then I started to get bullied, you know, 4th or 5th grade, and to the point of where if I did anything like theater or choir, anything like that, which it was perceived as not what little boys did, I started pulling back from it. And I really focused
on
I stifled it. Right. And I focused on studying and I focused on sports and, you know, the things I thought I was supposed to do. But what my parents did for me, Kathy, was I'm from Toledo, Ohio, very proud to be a Toledoan. but they really made me believe that I had wings and that my future was outside Toledo. And so I would say, you know, junior high, high school, it was really about getting into a good college. It was really about getting the grades, getting the scholarships, you know, because I wanted out of Toledo and I knew that my destiny was beyond Toledo. And again, I was growing up in Toledo in the 70s and 80s. It was a very different time.
Yeah.
Very hard to get a job, very tied to the auto industry and recession. And so I guess there were glimmers, but I don't think I ever sat down and was like, I'm going to be president of Disney Store someday, or I'm going to be CEO of Claire's Stores.
Right.
I just knew my destiny was kind of outside Toledo. I couldn't really tell you where, but I knew it was outside Toledo.
Yeah. Well, I love what that your parents really supported, you know,
they
you
did.
Kind of getting beyond the world that you were immediately living in. Not that it was bad, but
right.
I think I, much like that, had parents. One was an entrepreneur, one was very spiritual. And, you know, I feel like they gave me the tools to sort of see mm-hmm. the world through the lens that I did, and traveled a lot as a kid, and just knew that there wasn't just the four walls of Australia, but there was a whole
yes.
world out there. And it just kind of opens your eyes when you have people supporting that vision. And it's so
yes.
interesting, because the whole premise of my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, is really because so many people have said to me, you're so lucky, look at your life, you get to do what you want, when you want, how you want. And I've always said, well, no, that was by design.
Right.
I created that. I knew at an early
right.
age, maybe I had the parents that gave me the tools to think that way and to be confident or to lean into doing things that I'm passionate about or that I really want to do with my life. But it starts with feeling entitled. It starts with feeling like I
mm-hmm.
have the right to create what I want, and therefore
mm-hmm.
I'm going to figure out what that is. We just spend most of our lives trying to figure out what that is. And hopefully, you know, these conversations get us all a little bit closer to helping us just know
mm-hmm.
that there is a way. And, you know, as I say, what are you waiting for? Let's figure it out and let's kind of move on. So at what point, like going through college, what did you study? And when did you start to sort of lean into what then became quite an extraordinary career path for you?
Yeah, I ended up, you know, I went to Indiana University out of state tuition to do the business school, because Indiana University is a very famous
Amazing.
Business school.
Yeah,
and
my
that
son
was,
actually went there for
yes,
a year.
Yes, exactly. So that was my deal with my dad. And the summer between freshman and sophomore year, I called my dad because I had stayed down to do some summer classes. And I said, I want to be a political science major, because I thought I wanted to be an international lawyer. And the agreement I made with him is that I would basically double major, which at that time was called an outside field in business. So I'm a political science major with a ton of business. It's almost like a business minor or almost a double major. And I thought I was going to go to law school. I really, you know, took the LSAT and was studying and got to the end of my senior year. New funding was an issue for law school, and also was tired. And it was the time, you know, the middle 80s, where they were telling us to go out and get practical work experience. And because I was a political science major, the jobs that were available to me were like insurance, pharmaceutical sales, or retail. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do a retail training program, because I had done retail like part-time during college. And I said, that'll be a really good 2 year. Like, I'll get a 2 year grounding in this industry, you know, a retail training program with a good department store, and then I'll go back to law school. That was always the plan. And what happened was I got into the retail training program and got, quote, bitten by the retail bug
yeah.
and found out I was good at it. And then I was like, I'm not looking back. Now I'm going to be a retailer. And started to get promoted and started to get more responsibility and moved around the country with the department store person, you know, with the department store company. And I thought that was my path, was retail. And it was for a long time. Definitely was for a long time.
Yeah. And then was there sort of an aha moment along the way where you're like, okay, wait, this has been great, but, and, you know, I talk a lot about that gnawing feeling that we have
yes.
that we so often, you know, tuck
yes.
under the rug, or we brush it off and we ignore it. And
yeah.
5 years later, you're like, why am I still here? You know, what was that process like for you, or that journey? And
yeah,
that point
I think
in your life?
I, you know, I talk about the second half. I mean, honestly, I think the aha moment was in 2001 when I got recruited to go to run the Disney catalog. And I, in the back of my mind, was like, this is going to get me into media and entertainment. I'm going to go into media and entertainment through retail, through, you know, the catalog was direct to consumer.
Yeah.
And it got me moved to LA. You know, I was really more of a Midwesterner before that. And I had lived in San Francisco with The Gap and had an incredible run there. But I think it was really getting to Disney and understanding that my technical expertise was in products and experiences. However, I was now in the middle of this very, very creative environment with all of this content being created around me. Yeah, right. It was content, 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 and got to meet incredible people because, you know, my years, my 12 years at Disney, you know, we bought Pixar, we bought Marvel, like, you know, that Lucas was right at the end.
Explosive time.
Right.
There,
and
really?
So, yeah, you got to meet John Lasseter, you got to meet George Lucas, you got to meet the Marvel, you know, Kevin Feige and all those people. And I was like, oh, storytelling. Like, what I love is storytelling, and I love authentic storytelling. And it was just an incredible run. And I was like, okay, well, now I'm going to be in media and entertainment, but I'm always going to be in the part of media and entertainment where we're creating products and experiences off of the content that other people are creating. But I learned you started to get the quote seat at the table because I'd be in the early script work. I'd be in the early screenings. I'd be in the character development, and they would ask us what would help us. How would this be more effective for your world? You know, what kind of outfit should
Brilliant.
She wear? Like, and,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, now I'm in the creative process. Now I'm actually, influencing
and contributing and in, yeah, exactly. And that's extraordinary. And you know, what I'm hearing, what I want our audience to hear so badly from this is the way you were able to understand. And I think we all can do this. I think people get very caught up in, no, this is what I do for a living. I'm a mm-hmm. salesperson in fashion. That's all I
totally.
Know. And that is not true. If you are contributing to the merchandising and the colorways and the way a buyer is deciding what to pick and how to merchandise lines, and you are so much more than that.
Yes.
And you got that about yourself and you leaned into it and you reached across the aisle for yourself and you found ways to keep dimensionalizing
mm-hmm.
what you knew, what drew you to it, what you were passionate about, what you could lean into, what you could like expand on. And you just kind of described a scenario and a journey of your life where you just kind of leapt from one thing to another to another. And you know, sometimes, yes, it takes having the right other people in the room that are going to ask you that question. But if you, you know, if they're not going to ask, by all means, lean in and contribute,
yeah.
right?
And it was scary at times, to your point, Kathy, because the other thing I tell a lot of the young people I mentor is I did a lot of lateral moves. Not every move in my career was like a promotion with more title or more well responsibility, said. But I wanted to learn more. So I was, you know, a field operations person, and then I moved into buying at The Gap. Overnight, went from being really almost an expert in my field to being basically a novice,
yeah.
and had to work my way back up and learn
and
that. But
that
yeah,
was valuable. That's like going
totally.
Back to school, which is,
it is.
Divine
I always
to be
say,
curious
yeah.
and educated.
Yeah, I always say, people say, it's amazing you got to like the, you know, president level, CEO level, and you don't have an MBA. And I said, I worked for 9 years at The Gap with Mickey Drexler. That's like getting an MBA in retail. I didn't know, I don't have the piece of paper, but I have the experience. And what I loved about The Gap, Disney, a lot of places, Kathy, that you know, DreamWorks, yeah. they were some of the smartest people in the world I've ever met. And working around smart people made you go home at night and be like, oh my gosh, I've got to study. Like yeah. I'm not ready for that meeting. I'm not worthy. Like I really yeah. need to know my facts. I really need to learn. And I loved that. You know, one of the things I talk about in the book is to be a lifelong learner and stay constantly curious.
Yeah.
That has been my entire life. I just never want to feel like I'm done. I don't want to feel mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm an expert at this. You can't teach me anything. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to execute now. I would be so bored by that.
Bored. Uninspired. Totally. And not where innovative. You are today. I mean, well, I you love know,
as
that.
An, yeah, you know, as an author, writing a book is a complete education, right? Everybody says, oh, you should write a book. Oh, okay. I'll write a book. Okay. You know, you're like, oh my God, I just committed to writing a book. Like, and that whole process. And then we were talking about this before we, you know, came on to the podcast, the marketing of it and the communication of it. And how do you let people know the book exists? And I just think this journey that I've been on this last 18 months or 2 years has been another amazing education. Until you do it, you don't know.
Well, and it's such an extraordinary extension of who you are and what I love in my world. And this is very much the same for you. Yeah. You're a partner in an agency. We have our quote day jobs.
Right.
But the reality is, you know, I run an agency. I've got clients. This is business all day, every day. I happen to have an amazing team that can be part of that marketing team for the book and the podcast and the panels and the keynotes and all of that. But the reality is we are constantly putting ourselves out there and being visible. And what we do affects the work and is, you know, tied to what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's an extraordinary thing. And I think, you know, it says a lot about us as individuals, as human beings. We are complex, multifaceted individuals. And whether we're going to be an author or have some phenomenal hobby or other curricular things that we do outside of our business day, night, whatever it is that consumes us, we are entitled to explore all those pieces of ourselves and take those journeys and take those risks.
Yes.
Which really leads me to another wonderful question, which is this notion of risk, right? We kind of step out of our comfort zone sometimes to do things. It might have been in one of those career moves, which I think you really kind of touched on. It might have been that notion of, oh, I'm going to write a book. I mean, here you are writing about such an important topic, and I'd love to take a moment to really delve into your book a little bit. What was that kind of moment of, was there hesitation? Was there, what if it doesn't succeed? What if I don't know how to write a book? I've never done this before. When we're at that precipice and it's so easy to just kind of lean back and go, I'm just going to stay where I'm really comfortable. Mm-hmm. What was it that pulled you through? Where did you see that potential reward being? How did you, you know, and when you woke up in the middle of the night with cold sweats going, what am I doing? I'm nuts.
Yeah.
You know, what pulled you through?
Well, I mean, I think in many ways, and I would never call the pandemic or COVID-19 a gift, but in ways, the pandemic forced me to change gears because, you know, I had gone through Disney buying Fox, you know, and my position being eliminated and transitioning the business and all of that. And that literally closed not long before the pandemic, like, you know, within months. And I had started a different agency. I had started an agency with some friends and we were doing great. And the pandemic came along and, you know, we went from having 6 clients overnight to having a half a client. And, you know, we were all in lockdown. And I think that really said to me, I'm going to listen to the fates. I'm going to listen to what's happening in the world. And I'm going to do the pivot, right? Because I had really just jumped right back in because that's been my whole life. Like, okay, I'm done with Fox. I've got to find what's next. And I think in a weird way, the pandemic forced me, there was a lot of isolation in it, and it forced me to really step back and say, okay, what do you really want to do? And honestly, I think the book came out of that because I started to get more vocal and more active on LinkedIn. Yeah. And that was one of my ways of staying in touch with the world. And that started to get me noticed by publishers and magazine writers. And it was never my intention.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, everybody was like, it feels like you have a book in you. It feels like you have a book in you. Yeah, it was like a message.
You had something to say. Right?
Yeah, there was like, I don't know if I could say like on this day was my aha moment, but I started to see it and I started to feel it. And people that I respected were saying, you can do this and you should do this. You need to do this book.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Right. And to your point, then I went out and I got the book deal. And then you go into the cold sweats. Cause I never even really looked up, Kathy. Like, I signed up to deliver a 55,000 word book. I never Googled how long that was. Right.
Right.
I was like, sure, that sounds like okay. And like, I wrote the first 1,000 words and I was like, I've got to do this 55
more
times.
I don't think
I could do it. But you know what? You plugged away and I tried I'm sure you went through this because again, I had a day job. I tried many different ways of like, I'm going to write every day from 4 to 5, or I'm going to do it and what I realized was you had to write
when you had the calling. Well, and
totally.
It's funny because I had a bit of a different experience in that I had this notion because of what people were always saying to me, like, you know, you get to live this great life. And I kept responding to people. And, you know, likewise, the message of what I was saying made me realize the rest of the world doesn't think the same way I do necessarily.
Yeah.
So maybe I can shed the light to more people in the fact that take a moment, pause, question what you're doing, figure out if it's the right thing. And if it isn't, figure out your path to get there. You know, we get a GPS system when we get in the car to figure out where we're going. Well, let's create a reinvention roadmap and figure out how to reinvent some part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And what I started doing, because I was working on a women's conference and Arianna Huffington was involved, and I turned to her one day and I said, I'm going to write a book about reinventing your life. I want to write a blog for the HuffPost. And she said, oh, darling, I'm starting a section on reinvention in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, glad I gave you that great idea.
Right,
well, good.
Exactly.
I'll be your first contributor. And
right.
I just started blogging. I started writing articles and doing speaking engagements for years before I really got into the meat of the book. And there I was years later with stacks of content and articles and conversations. And I started interviewing people. And the dialogue around this just made this flourish. So I ended up actually writing the book, because then I found an editor, wrote the book before, and then I self-published. Because I didn't want to wait for someone to validate my opinion. And doing what I do for a living as a marketer and a brander.
Right.
And I had a lot of confidence about, oh, I don't want to do this like every other book. I want to put it out there like I do for all my clients. And and so it was a longer process of cold sweats and those moments of like, what am I doing? What do I like? Who cares? Who cares what I have to say? But we realized that there is a message in what you're doing. And that being said, I would love you to really speak about the book and All Pride, No Ego, A Queer Executive's Journey to Living and Leading Authentically.
Right.
Tell me, what is the premise for the book and what is it that you want people to get from it, and who is it for, and what do we have to learn in what it is that you have really poured, you know, your experience and your heart into? And tell us
it's a leadership book. It's a leadership philosophy organized around 10 learnings. It's about authentic leadership and authenticity, and the 10 learnings basically form, you know, the guts of the book. They're like chapter headings almost.
Right.
And each learning is full of personal and professional anecdotes that illustrate how I got to that learning and how these are literally the 10 skills or the 10 learnings that I use when I enter into a new position, whether it's, you know, an executive position or a volunteer position or, you know, working for a new client.
I was going to say, and even with new clients,
it really is about authentic leadership, and it really is about trying to create safe, respectful, productive work environments where everybody can live their authenticity and live their story. I mean, my story happens to be, I'm an out gay man from Toledo, Ohio, who struggled with his sexuality until he was in his 20s and then fully embraced himself and has had a different path the second half of his life.
Yeah.
But your story is different. The people that work for me, their stories are different. And everybody everybody wants to be able to bring their story and be authentic. They don't want to have to put on a, they don't want to have to put on a mask to be successful. And I think particularly, so who did I write it for? I say, and you know, I wrote it for everybody, but I think I especially wrote it for young people that are younger in their career or young leaders who think they have to change in order to be successful. They have to fit a mold.
Yeah.
And I try to say to them, if a company is trying to force you to be something that really doesn't feel right to you, I need you to think about changing companies. And I'm also not cavalier in the book because I understand people need economic security and financial security.
Sure.
And depending on where they live, it may not be that easy. But I just, I really ask them to think about aligning with a company or a position that allows you to bring your full self.
Yeah. And you know what? I love that because, Jim, you know, I say this about reinvention and just the notion of what you just said. It may not appear that it's for everybody. And I've had so many conversations when someone's like, you're telling me I can reinvent my life. I'm a single mom. I have two jobs. I'm supporting my family.
Totally.
I can't just pick up and go run a chocolate shop because I feel like it. Mm-hmm. No. Maybe not today, but if that is your dream, don't give it up. Create little wins for yourself. Make a 10-year plan. On a weekend, ask friends to look after the kids for 2 hours and go volunteer in a chocolate shop. Get to know it. Maybe it's something you'll learn that you don't really want to do, or you'll learn everything you want to know. And at night when the kids are sleeping, sit down for an hour, do research on the computer. There is a way. And in 10 years from now, you'll wake up going, wow, I did it.
Right.
I figured it out. Like, find a way. And to your point, you know, today may be not be the day to make those changes, but yes, reflect on it. Don't give up on it. Find a way or navigate the system. And I think, look, we're living in a world today where there is a level of conscientiousness, the DE&I initiatives around all these major companies. Would you say that what you're sharing and I think inspiring in your book, in this thought process and the strategy for our own lives, is a little easier now in corporate America than it might have been 10 years ago?
Definitely. I mean, definitely when I came out, although it's been interesting in the last year, the backlash against the queer community in particular in certain markets. I think, you know, one of the things I found as I've started to get out there with the book is, you know, living in California for 25 years, I think made me a little soft because I just assumed, you know, we had these protections and everyone was like that. And then, you know, during the pandemic, I moved to Georgia and Atlanta is great, but you get outside of Atlanta and you're like, ooh, wait a minute. Like this isn't right. This isn't California. And, you know, you watch what's happening in Florida, you watch what's happening in Texas. And so, do I think it's better? Absolutely. Is it still challenging? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was, you know, very careful of, I mean, even though it's my story and I put queer on the cover, is my early readers and my editors and stuff, I wanted to make sure that the learnings in there were universal. And so to your point, the single mom with two kids or a straight black man lawyer in New York, that my whole thing was like, if you can take one or two things out of the book and it makes your life better and it makes your life easier. Hallelujah. And so yes, my story, it's, you know, it's not an autobiography, but there's a lot of autobiographical elements in there.
And look, I mean, you have walked the walk. You have talked the talk. Like, you have lived this. This is not just an idealistic perspective.
Yeah, it's practical.
It's very practical. And I love that it does have universal truths to it. That reality of allowing ourselves to be good to ourselves, to give ourselves grace, to listen. I mean, so many of us say, oh, it's just easier this way. It might be a relationship. It might be a health habit. It might be spirituality. It may be career. You know, we owe it to ourselves. We are the center, each one of us, of our entire universe. You are the center of your universe. I am the center of mine. And luckily, ours overlap somewhere, right? We get to play together. But the reality is only we can create what we want in our lives. And sometimes we just need that extra reminder that we're entitled to have that. We need to be good to ourselves and really create that authentic conversation. And it may not be tomorrow's change, but it could be the 10-year plan. And I feel like you're telling this in so many ways in your book, which I've ordered and I'm like dying to read it now. Yeah. And I'm just so excited for you that you're getting to really share this. I just want to pivot for a moment. I want to talk about some of the great work that you are doing with your agency and the fun other day job stuff that you're doing.
Yeah.
Do you find that you're living your true north now? I mean, you've sort of opened another door to like, oh, maybe I don't need to be doing that. I can go on the road. I can be a speaker. Yeah. I've got another book in me. You did the audio.
Yeah.
Has this sort of created a few other nuggets of what next for Jim moments?
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, one of the books I read, I'm going to butcher the title, but I think you'll know it is, during the pandemic was A Multi-Hyphenate Career, right? And I think... Right. Up until 2019, I was always a thing. Like, I was president of this or head of this at a company. And what's happened from 2019 to 2023 is I've realized, and you mentioned it earlier, you can be a lot of different things. And one of the things I like about the agency work and what we're doing at Archer Gray Collab, we have this diverse roster of clients where I get to stretch myself. You know, whether we're doing experiential retail or consumer experiences, or I'm doing a brand strategy for a character family, or I'm doing marketing for a family and kids entertainment company, I'm constantly stretching myself and then building teams to stretch with me for these clients.
Love that. So you're applying. You are applying 100% this every day.
I'm better. Like, I wake up and I can look at myself in the mirror and like, did you learn something yesterday? Are you better today?
Yeah.
And to your point, I think writing the book, it was funny. Somebody said to me, I'm so excited for your first book, like 6 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, my first book. Okay. Maybe I do have more books in me. But I, you know, and I started writing down ideas, and I've always been a journaler and all that. Yeah. And so to your point, I'm just really open to where this could all take me. I would love to do more speaking. I'd love to do more panel work. I'd love to do more, you know, kind of on-site mentoring. And there could be a second book down the road or a third book down the road.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, literally talking to you the day of the launch, I'm embarking on like a 12-week book tour that's taking me all over the country.
Amazing.
I'm just excited to get out and see people and hear
and
the reaction
the
to the book. Yeah, have the conversation, hear the reaction to the book, have them ask me questions, maybe debate some things.
Yeah.
I love that. So I'm completely open, but I love the work we're doing through Archer Gray Collab.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still fun at this age, having been in this business over 35 years, to get up in the morning and be excited, right? I think the passion is back, and I'm excited to be on the road again and actually meeting with clients in person. You know, we've been doing it virtually for so long.
Yes.
So I'm, you know, and I feel like every time I get back on the plane, I'm always exhausted because, as you know, it's mentally and physically, emotionally draining.
Yep.
But if I can reflect and start journaling and say, okay, let's talk about what worked and what didn't work and what did you learn from that, then that's the win. And so I never say never, Kathy. People call me all the time and say, would you ever do CEO of a retailer? Would you ever do this again? I've learned to never say never, but I'm really happy right now. I'm really, really
I love that,
happy.
As you should be. And you're about to embark on this, you just said, this incredible tour and this journey. And these conversations you are going to be having are going to be life-changing for you.
Oh,
I can
I'm
tell
so
you from experience what I've been through in the last 2-3 years with my book, my podcast, my virtual chat series. And every time I walk in a business room and someone says, oh, I saw what you're doing and I want to talk about my life and what I'm going through. And there's so much joy in that, because I feel like we are helping people recognize you know, something about themselves that they can do better, a way they can live better, the way they can be more curious about how they're doing what they're doing. And that's a pretty amazing feeling. So
it's a gift.
You're about to have a lot of that, my friend. And I'm so excited for you.
I'm excited. Thank you.
So I have one closing question for you before we have to jump. If you could have a dinner party with three or four really inspiring, interesting people that you would love to, they could be dead or alive. Let's just play with that. And, you know, you want to have a bottle of wine, break bread, maybe have some good pasta to go with it. Who would you want, three or four people that you would want to have at that table with you?
Oscar Wilde, for sure.
Love that.
I would have loved to have Oscar Wilde. The amazing RBG. I would have loved to have met Ruth Bader Ginsburg and talk to her about women's rights and all the things she did for all of us. And I think this is going to sound so cliche, Michelle Obama. Like I'm really inspired by what the Obamas have done in general, but what Michelle Obama has done and the messages in her book. I think that would be a nice little foursome. And I think we'd laugh, and I know they're all different and they're all unique and they're all super intelligent. And
could you imagine that conversation?
It could be so fun, especially if you were like, no press, we're in a private room.
Private, quiet room.
Just
I sort of
take
envision.
It off. Great food, great wine, and just... let's talk about it all. I think it could be amazing.
That's incredible. Well, I'd like to join you. So
yeah,
I'll crash that party for sure.
There's room for a
fit. I'll bring the wine.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is great, Jim. As always, so fabulous talking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Love your story. Love where you're going. I wish you the best on the launch of this book. I'm honored to be with you on the day of the launch of your book. I'm so excited. And let's keep talking, and I will make sure that people know where to get the book, how to reach you on LinkedIn, and we'll make sure that all of that's in the show notes. And for those that are tuned in, please feel free to go to thereinventionexchange.com for more information, blogs, podcasts, virtual chats, great interviews, inspired thinking, and links to so many amazing people that have been a part of my journey. And I thank you for joining us, and happy reinventing, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend, and thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.